Hi, and welcome to another episode of our podcast where language enthusiasts talk about learning and stuff.
It's three of us here.
I'm Zoya.
I'm Taya.
And I'm Ksusha.
In this chaotic world, we're all in need of safe space to speak one's mind, laugh, and enjoy life.
Because that's the only way to stay sane while
zooming
through
chaos. Alright, girls, today we're talking about learning outside the classroom.
Oh my, it's like you're talking to us like you're a teacher. You're like, girls, today we're talking.
What's the weather like?
How was your weekend? Okay, it started as you wanted. Shoot.
Hello. Today we're talking about learning outside the classroom. Please join us.
With that sweet voice.
It's my usual voice.
Yeah, sure. Okay, I think we should start with the things that we are all teachers currently here, and we have classes with our students, and our students learned something during these classes, but in my experience, the students who learn something outside of the classroom progress faster, better, stronger, and they become fluent much easier and much faster without effort and with more joy.
Mm-hmm. They still put effort, maybe, right? Learn outside the classroom.
Yes, and they still put effort inside the classroom. I am an advocate for learning outside of the classroom, and I need to mention that if I'm the advocate for that, it doesn't mean that I'm not doing my best during the classroom. I just believe that two classes a week, 2 hours a week, is not enough to master the language.
Yes, for sure.
Well, it depends. Again, it depends on how long. You can study for 2 hours a week and it's going to take you years.
Yeah.
You can do something else and it's going to take you less.
Yes, I agree.
I've got precise calculations. I'm prepared for this one.
Oh, my maths.
So, let's take 30 to 35. This is a normal school year.
Oh my, have you prepared the diagram as well?
No, I...
In German.
No.
Come on, Zoy.
But I can do that. I've got enough data. Sorry. But let's be precise, you know? 30, 35 weeks, normal school year. If you have two...
For those who are not seeing the faces of these two, Zoya has covered her face with her hands and trying to shut up while Taya is so excitedly taking a look at her notes, delivering the data. Continue, please.
It's not that boring, guys. It's just...
Go on.
There's a reason why I'm doing it. You don't agree with that?
No, I agree with you, Ty. It's okay.
No, go on.
So, if you do two classes a week... During 30 weeks, you'll get 60 classes, okay? And you will cover, in 1 year, almost A1 level, which takes, in 10 years, at this normal tempo, only B1. So you will reach, in 10 years, only B1.
In 10 years?
Oh, yes. Wow. Yes. That's why I did this calculation. Sorry, guys, for this emotional...
No, wait, you just said that it takes 1 year to reach one level.
Yes.
Yeah?
According to Sefer.
No, 10 years is not real.
It's just 10 years because it's just 30 lessons a year.
60 lessons a year. Like at school.
Yes, it's not even every week two lessons. It's less. That's why it's 10 years, because it's so spread with all the holidays and vacations and stuff.
Yes, I take a school year, and there are a certain number of hours you should have before you reach a certain level. So this is the recommendation of Sefer, right? A1 until between 80 and 200 classroom hours, A2, 200 to 350, and so on. And to reach a proficiency level, you need 1,000 academic hours, at least.
1,000? I've heard that we need 200 hours to progress to one level.
Yes, but it differs between the levels. So it's going to be 350 for A2, 650 for B1. Between A2 and B1, there is a huge gap. To reach B1, you need more hours.
Then to reach A1?
Yes. From 0 to A1, it's less hours than from A2 to B1. And then it goes okay between B1 and B2, again, 200 hours, it's still 800. And from 800 to 2 to 1,000, C1. After C1, 1,000 and more. So if you learn at school only 2 days a week, 2 times a week via 1 academic hour, you will reach only B1 after 10 years of school.
So it turns out that the usual level of school students graduating is supposed to be B1.
It's not supposed to be B1, but it's the calculation.
It's supposed to be around B2, I guess, if we're talking about state exam.
B2.
Plus, maybe, but the real estimation will be around B1. But if the real estimation is around B1, then the level of English in Russian schools is not as bad.
But, you know, nobody learns that pretty good. Not everyone learns the way it's supposed to be.
What numbers do you have, Zoe?
I have no numbers. I hate numbers. No, it's just I'm a bit confused because I have only my experience and I don't have the data. I'm sorry. Well, maybe it's my data with my students. If you study twice a week for 1 hour or... Well, previously it was 1.5 hours. So like 1 hour twice a week doing only classroom stuff is going to take you around 5 months to reach a certain level. It might take longer with some levels. I totally agree because people have troubles going from intermediate to upper intermediate usually. And from elementary to intermediate, and this is why we have pre-intermediate, so they can like chill. But seriously, I think in some languages, it's like, it's not that subtle. It's like more like elementary, and then you'll go and study something very crazy. I'm not sure, I might be mistaken.
It's still approximate estimation, and I do believe that it differs.
Well, Sefer, it's approximate, of course.
It differs. It depends on the person. It depends, but I said like only classroom stuff. If they do something extra, it cuts month off.
That's what I was trying to say.
The only takeaway that I get from there is that if you study only during the class and you don't do anything outside of the classroom, it will take you decades to master the language, to get fluent and sufficient in it.
Not decades, guys. Years? Yes, I do agree. Because I have different examples of my students.
What about Ksusha's example or my example? I started learning English even earlier than German. In the kindergarten.
Yeah, I also started it in the kindergarten, actually.
And I do not recommend actually doing it to your children. Guys who are listening, do not do it to your children. It will not help. As far as I can see, I have students who come to me in the elementary and they're like, yes, I studied English. And they say it in Russian, of course. I studied English in the kindergarten. Then at school, I'm elementary. And I'm like, good for you. And good for me as well, I guess. So, like, what the actual hell? Like, what's happening? It's sad. It's so sad. But again, let's not talk about the systems. I actually wanted to talk about it, not from teacher's perspective, but from student's perspective, because we're all students here as well. And I can talk about my German experience and my Spanish experience and French as well, I guess. So I think, actually, I'm sorry, Ksusha, but with German, I put a bit more effort into my classes because I did something outside. I cannot remember what it was.
But I definitely did it.
I watched some videos. I watched some videos and I tried to watch native speakers speaking German and some Swiss German as well. And I was like scarred for life by that experience. Yeah, and I did something. So I did, well... I guess can confirm. I was present in my classes. I was not like checking my emails or texting someone. I was like present. We were talking. We were discussing something. I was into it. I did something else. And I think, how long did it take me to go from A2 to B1? A2 or A1? A2.
We did A1 and A2. And we studied 1.5 years.
Yeah, but again, I came a bit prepared to it because I had studied German for some years. So this is why A1 was like flying through it and then A2 a bit difficult. And so 1.5 years, it is okay. I was fluent at those levels for sure. But with Spanish, I'm sorry, but I do nothing outside the classroom.
I see that.
Yeah, and yeah, Ksusha sees it. But I would like to praise myself because we are practicing self-love. And I would say that I'm present in my Spanish classes as well. So like if I having a Spanish class, I'm there to learn. I take notes. This is where I take notes in my classes. Yes, I do. So I take notes. When I do my homework, mm-hmm. I also like consult my notes and I use dictionaries and something else. So like I'm there. So for me, it's not actually too... Okay, let's say it's like 1 hour a week. So now it's like 2 hours because like 1 hour kind mm-hmm. of goes into homework, which is can I like kind of go into that doing homework not on the same day as your class is important because it adds to your time with the language.
I again disagree.
No, I actually do agree here from the brain point of view because we have the short-term memory and long-term memory. And when you do something and when you learn something especially, it is kept in your short-term memory. And you need to sleep on it. It's real fact from...
Neuroscience, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Neuroscience, thank you. And it's a real fact that you need to sleep on it. So your brain can actually process this new knowledge and put it into the long-term memory. So if we do our homework, which is also learning outside the classroom, if you do your homework the day before, it actually is transferred into your long-term memory. So on the next day when you have the lesson, you can remember some words or you can remember some grammar or some structures, and it benefits you more than if you do it on the same day. It's not about actually the time you spend on it because you can still spend the same time. Still the same hour on the homework, but your brain will remember it better if it will be in different days.
Tai is like, seriously, no, I'm doing my Japanese work right before the class.
That's
we are not forcing you to. We're just saying why we believe that it's not
it's exact. Just my individual thing, you know. Sure. Everyone has his own strategies and mm-hmm. you know, something can mm-hmm. be a good idea for them, something can be a bad idea. I tried both and I still do the homework before the class. Even sometimes I don't do the homework.
That's a bad example.
No, it isn't. I'll prove you now. I do these essays. I write these essays two weeks before the exam. I start doing this. I start doing the homework because now nobody checks it.
A bulk of them, I guess.
And I'm mm-hmm. revising the material before the exam, and I do better at the exam. And then after the exam, I remember that all better because I revised.
Good for you that you've done it before. It's about that you revised before the exam. It's two different things.
For me, it's important.
But for Tai, it's the same thing. I can see advantages of Tai's strategy. I still do not support it. But still, like, if you do something before the lesson, you're kind of revising it. But then I faced some problems with my students because of it. I noticed that they did their homework before the lesson, like 20 minutes before the lesson. And then I had, like, some tasks to revise the same material. And they were like, bored. And I'm like, I didn't ask you to do the same stuff before the lesson. You did it to yourself. But on the other hand, if they had done it day before or like several days before, they wouldn't have this reaction like, oh my God, again.
Like if I do something before the lesson and then it goes on and we revise that again, I'm just very excited because I can do that better. I can do.
We're so different.
And I'm released. I'm okay. I remember that. That's cool. I'm very disappointed if I did it before, the day before, and I forgot it, although I did it the day before. Sorry, but, you know, I'm...
Tai is very passionate about it.
I'm fighting my way.
We're not fighting you. I don't know who you're fighting with.
No, nobody's fighting anybody.
Yeah, we're not fighting. I actually say that it's a great strategy to combine these two things. I still vote for doing the homework beforehand, but you can revise something before the lesson.
But then it takes longer. Like, why would you do it? Two things, you can do it once.
Because you are motivated and you like the language, but I guess it's not...
Not the case. No, it's the case of being motivated and liking, but still. I also want to have a side note that we are so different. I mean, we're different as people, obviously. We're different as teachers and we're different as students. And what I noticed that we force, in a good way, we force our strategies onto our students. So, for example, I recommend my students doing something outside the classroom. But because they come to me and they say like, oh, I want to reach this level in so many months. And I'm like, it's not possible. And they're like, what if I do something else? I'm like, it's quite possible if you do something outside the classroom.
It's not a must. And what you said about the homework, that you recommend to do it, because life happens and shit happens. And it's not possible to do homework all the time, all the times at the right timing. It's okay. It's all right. And it's not black and white. It's just the general recommendation, general outline that I try to stick to.
Well, of course, it's better to do the homework rather than not do it.
It's even better to do part of it.
Of course.
Than not do it at all.
Yes, yeah. I agree with that.
I have my Spanish classes on Thursday. So usually like on Tuesdays or Wednesdays, I do my homework. not a day earlier. So, and I remember it being Wednesday and like around 11 p.m., I guess, I was not going to bed. So I was like, and I remember panicking because I forgot to do my Spanish homework. And I remember going to my laptop, opening it and doing it because I was like so afraid. It's not because like Xuxa would be like, no, should have done it. I think like she might have been disappointed, but not so much. But I would have been disappointed with myself. That's true. And again, it's me. I'm a fan of homework, especially of giving my students a lot of it. I'm very good at, not very good at doing a lot of homework as a student. Just a side note. What else can we do outside the classroom?
Oh, we can do so many things. And it's actually the best, for me, it's the best strategy to learn the language is just surround yourself with the language in your everyday life. And if you are into something, do that in the language. It always works. If you are into podcasts, find the podcast that you like and listen to it. If you are into series, find the series and watch it. But please, if you watch the series, watch it with the subtitles of the language you want to, not the native one for you, please.
No, I disagree. It works both ways.
Okay, we will agree to disagree. I do believe that it should be the target language that you want, but the ideal way is to have the transcript in two of them. And Puzzle Movies, please sponsor us. Here.
I'm not sure it's legal, but okay.
Yes, I love the transcript option over there. But you can do all the things that you like in the language. You can incorporate this language in your life and it will be effortless.
What do you do outside the classroom? Both of you?
Well, I think Xuxa watches movies on Puzzle English.
Not so much movies, but series more. I'm watching series, yeah. I'm watching lots of videos on YouTube.
Oh my. Addiction for me. Obsession, even.
My YouTube is, I think, 90% English. No, wait. There is also Spanish. So, okay, the majority of it in English. Then there is a bit in Spanish. And then I think it's like 10% in Russian. So 90% is divided between English and Spanish. And I think will be kind of 60% will be English, 30% will be Spanish. Because I've started to watch all these videos about like, in my bag, in Spanish, binge watching YouTube videos of work. I'm also doing my morning exercise with the American girl now, because she's so warm and supportive. Like, I know that it's tough, but we're almost there. Sunshine. Yeah, and I'm reading books in English or in Spanish.
For example?
Right now I'm reading Hunger Games, the third one.
Oh, that's cool.
And also almost all of my notes are actually in English. Sometimes they're in Spanish, but almost all of them are in English. And my computer and my phone is in English.
Oh, putting an interface, that's also one thing I recommend sometimes to my students. Those who want to travel or just move to another country.
I remember that Thais Google is in German.
Yes, it is.
I remember her, like, it was one of our meetings and she was Googling something and like, oh, look, and she shows us and it's all in German. And we're like, we don't understand it. Like, yeah, what do you mean?
Sometimes I forget about it.
Mm-hmm. Other people do not speak German.
And my Telegram is also in German. And that was the issue because I was trying to show something to Xuxa and Xuxa said, what does it all mean? I don't know. Mm-hmm. So that's also a good point. Yep. What about you, Zoya? What do you do?
Oh, the same stuff. Like, YouTube is my everything. I swear by it. I love it. You can find so many things there. It's ridiculous. Like, anything you want. I, for example, think almost everybody has some kind of favorite. Not favorite. Some celebrities they like. Can be actors, influencers, directors, whatever. Musicians. And so when I get into one actress or actor or musician, I start watching everything with them. Like, currently it's Florence Pugh. She's amazing. I love her, and I've watched everything from her videos on YouTube, like the one she cooks and she films herself, and it's funny. I learn words like about cooking there. Then I go and watch her interview about the film. I learn some information there. So for me, it's easier. It's like one person I like, but then they in different environments doing different stuff.
That's actually a very, very good point. So we just find your celebrity crush and just watch everything you can.
For me, it's mostly girls. Some guys are like, Harry Styles is still the best guy. So yeah, everything with him as well. Oh, I love interviews, especially if the interviewer is good. Like, there is a guy from Apple Music, I forgot his name. So his interviews are amazing. Like, he interviewed Adele for her latest album, and then he interviewed Harry Styles for several albums, I think. Then guys from Linkin Park recently, and they talk about music, and I don't know much, but I learn some words there. Also, I get sucked into some, like, go to bed with me, where girls and boys actually talk about how they, like, remove their makeup.
Skincare.
What moisturizers they use. I'm like, oh, moisturizer, now I know. Skincare, sure, yes.
Actually, that's a problem sometimes, because I take so much content in a foreign language that sometimes I know the words in the foreign language, but I don't know them in Russian.
Exactly. I was like, moisturizer, I need this. Like, what's it in Russian? Now I tried to type it into, like, For fresh, can you sponsor us, please? And was like not having it. I was like, what's it? And then I had to Google it to translate it into Russian. This is another level of being fluent, when you like just stop knowing Russian words. You know English words, but you don't know Russian. Or maybe you don't remember, or you do not make the association. Now, of course, I'm like, oh, okay, it's this word in Russian. But sometimes mm-hmm. they're the same words, like serum. Sorry, we're talking about skincare.
I found this nutritionist, Pick Up Limes. Mm-hmm. Love her. If you're listening to that, you are beautiful. Yep. You are great.
She's amazing, yeah.
She's amazing. And I started to learn about all the cooking and...
Which you don't do.
Yes, but it was the time when I did it.
Ah, okay. Ooh.
Yes. And I learned so many words for spices and different products and different types of protein or flour or milk. Stop milking shit, all of that.
For the love of God.
English comedians, they're amazing, right?
Yes, watch comedians, stand-up comedians.
Jack Whitehall is a good one. A bit strange, but a good one.
What about your favorite one? What's her name? I forgot.
Whitney Cummings?
No, not the Whitney Cummings. The one that's like, the winter is coming.
Oh, wait, Taylor Tomlinson. Taylor Tomlinson. A shout out to Taylor Tomlinson, one of the best female American comedians. She inspired me to start to create this podcast. She is the one.
She is great. I agree. She is just gold.
Go watch one of her or both of her specials somewhere on YouTube.
You can start with some shorts and you will fall in love with her, but then you will watch the whole episodes. So I was watching Pick Up Limes, and mm-hmm. I started to learn all these words for different products and stuff. And then mm-hmm. when I came back to reality, I understood that I don't know what it is.
In Russian.
What is it called?
Mm-hmm. But her videos are great because, well, I watch quite a lot of hers with cooking, and actually cook one of her recipes every 2 weeks. It's an amazing curry, but I don't make it spicy because I can't. Spicy things do not agree with me, so I'm not Indian for sure. Let's not check it even. But I love it because she shows the stuff. So like, she can say, okay, coriander is the same in Russian, but still, like, she's coriander. And you're like, okay, looks like this. But then like cumin, I was like, what is it?
Human.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Yes, wait, yes. What's a different one? What's a different one? Wait. There is a different one for this yellow stuff. Okay, I don't remember it. But yellow stuff. No?
Okay. Yellow not stuff. Good.
It's
powder. Even.
I can say Russian word if you want, but I don't remember the English word. Exactly. I don't remember it in English now.
Me neither.
Amazing.
So much for learning the words in English and not knowing it in Russian. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. And now it's vice versa. Wait, I think... Can I Google it?
Sure.
Turmeric.
Turmeric, oh, yes.
Not curcuma, so you can't guess it.
Yes.
Yeah. I love her as well. Yes, she's good. She's good.
It's just that you need to surround yourself with the language.
It's really effortless way, you mean?
Yes. So
exactly. So like I always say to my students, like what you just said, I always say to my students, like find something you like. And I think sometimes people have problems with it because they do not know what they like in Russian. And that's it. And this is where psychologists come.
Coming back to psychology part. Yes.
So what do you do in your free time? Do you like it? Why do you do it?
How do you feel about that?
Yeah. Who makes you do it? Your girlfriend? No, you shouldn't do it. Then let's talk about it.
Okay. What do you do apart from work?
Yeah. Anyways, find something you like and do it in English then. You can start very, very step by step.
Sure.
If you like, TV series like too difficult.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Shorts. Now we have shorts, TikTok.
We do, but still native speaking English, it's a totally different story. It might be difficult as well. You can find non-native speakers speaking English, like Selma Hayek.
Oh, I adore her. Shout out to Selma Hayek.
Selma Hayek, can you sponsor us?
Oh my. No, just you are so great.
Again, like you... Actually, I think one disadvantage of authentic materials that they are mostly about American or British English. And when you go into the world and start speaking English to different people, it's not going to be only American English and only British English. It might be Indian English. It might be like Spanish English or French English with all kinds of different accents. So you need to get used to it by watching, again, on YouTube, different videos with different people speak English, especially if they're not native speakers. And I find it that people who study English understand non-natives better than natives. Have you noticed it?
That's true.
Yeah. So I think it's no coincidence. We feel the pain, their pain, with like we match with ours. We're like, oh... course.
Tay, what's your take on learning outside the classroom? Do you do that?
Yeah, do you do anything different?
Yeah, well, actually, it's all the same, but something came into my mind. I also try communicating with native speakers, like chatting with them.
Where do you find them?
Well, I keep in touch still with my former tourists. I used to be a tourist guide here in Moscow.
So you learn the language.
Become a tourist guide.
Become a tourist guide.
Meet some tourists and then keep in touch with them.
Yes, keep in touch with them to practice your language.
Yeah, actually.
Seemingly effortless way.
Well.
No. I think Tai's point is that you, first of all, maybe need to have a look at what you already have. And if you do have some natives or non-natives or people who can speak English, do it with them. That's it.
Oh, that's true. Yes, some peer teaching for sure.
Peer learning.
Peer learning, sorry. Yeah, peer learning for sure.
Tai, go on. I keep interrupting you.
No, that's okay. Concerning Japanese, I also watch the series. It's the anime with subtitles. But Xusha's point was about the subtitles. I can't read Japanese hieroglyphs, most of them still. But I do understand, comprehend what they're speaking. So
are you watching it with subtitles or not?
With Russian subtitles.
Russian subtitles.
Oh, here comes my point that it works.
With Asian languages... Totally.
Okay.
Yeah. What else? I don't know.
Do you read in German or English?
Well, yes, I do read some books, but well, nowadays it's pretty much reading books about methodology and stuff.
Oh,
that's with teaching and some articles in the internet while searching material for my students.
Articles on the internet, also a good point.
Ooh. I watched the video about his performance on Super Bowl. That was amazing.
Oh, Rihanna, another shout out. The queen, the queen.
I watched the video. I fell in love with it. I read the article. I presented this article on my lessons where I'm studying. And then I read the article again and it was all over the place. So yeah, sure.
Yeah, and I also started listening to audiobooks.
Mm-hmm. In German?
Yeah, in German, in English.
Yeah, yeah.
In different languages.
Yeah. Natürlich.
Yeah.
So the question is, why do we do all of that?
Well, we are very special. We love languages. It sounds bad. I mean, we're different.
What about those who doesn't love languages?
They don't learn them.
Don't speak, don't learn them.
Well, you know what? That's a lot of people.
Well, yeah. Sure.
Okay, not a lot. There are some people who are not really into learning, but they need to. But the advice stays the same. Find something you do like and do it.
Because it really helps you to progress.
Yeah, and also enjoy it. Because this is the main point. You have to enjoy what you do in English to learn it.
In any language.
In any language. Because I had students who were not keen on learning English, but had to for work, other reasons. And then when something switched in their minds and they're like, oh, okay, I kind of enjoy doing this. We can do more of it. I'm like, okay, sure. And they started enjoying it and they started making progress. That's it. This is how it works.
Yes, yes. It helps you to keep going because learning language is a marathon. It's not a sprint. It will take you some time. For everybody, it will be different amount of time. But if you dedicate your time and effort, not only inside the classroom, but outside of it, it will be less painful. You will enjoy the ride and you will get faster to the final point.
Is there a final point? That's the good question, huh?
Yes.
No, some people reach a certain level and they stop. They're like, it's enough for me.
You will progress faster. Yes. You will progress faster. Mm-hmm. I think that will wrap it up.
Yep.
Thank you very much for listening to our podcast. Reach out to us to our email.
Or in our Telegram channel.
Yeah.
Or leave a comment below. It will help us a lot.
Hit the subscribe button.
Yay.
See you in the next episode. Bye.
See you guys.
Bye-bye.